This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea, and I have a special guest host today, Adrian Martini. Welcome back to the show, Adrian.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So you have a 5K race this weekend? Is my intel right?
Your intel is absolutely correct. Uh-huh. My coach talked me into, she didn't have to talk hard, suggested that I try and run a fast 5K this summer. Uh-huh. And summer in the Northeast is tricky, mm-hmm, because it's either 8 million degrees or it's 50. And you're just kind of rolling the dice. So it looks like that this Saturday, which is when the 5K is, they already have the heat warnings out.
Oh, goodness.
So this 5K is run in conjunction with, it's a 19K up at the Women's Hall of Fame in Seneca Falls.
Oh, fantastic.
And yeah, and it's a 19K for the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote.
Yes.
Yep. Which is why I wanted to do this race. Mm-hmm. They've already shortened the 19K because of all the heat warnings down to, I think, 8 miles.
Because a 19K would be almost close to
11, 12.
Yes, exactly. Because if a 5K is 3.1,
right.
So that'd be,
almost four of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they've already shortened it once. I wouldn't be shocked if they shortened it again.
What heat are we talking?
So at 8 in the morning, it's already going to be 82 with about 90% humidity.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to run the 5K, but I don't think I'm going to set any new land speed records.
Oh.
It's fine. It is what it is.
But then are you going to, you got that... Do you have that, burning hunka feeling in your tummy that makes you want to then find one maybe in November and shoot for that, or?
Oh, yeah. No, so in November I already have a half planned, but mm-hmm, I think I could squeeze some in somewhere along the way.
Well, I mean, it also might be, the temperature might drop before November in the, central New York. I don't know. Maybe.
No, it will. Like, we have 8 weeks that are just unpleasant, but then the rest of the year, you have to make peace with winter, but once you've done that, the weather around here is fine. It's just that it just gets humid sometimes and really hot, but it passes, so you're just playing the odds.
Is this not the time to say that Molly and I have been griping about the 70% humidity that we have here, and it's probably in the, I don't know, by that point, maybe it's in the mid to high 60s.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
This is the morning.
It's terrible. Yeah, and I'm sure there are people in Florida right now who are just like grinding their teeth.
Right.
They're like, you don't even know.
Right.
And they are absolutely right.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, we know, yeah.
We know.
It's all what you're accustomed to.
It's all about what you're accustomed to, and this is just, I think even somebody from Florida would go outside in this and just kind of melt very slowly.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's just unpleasant.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate.
But I'll be up at the Women's Hall of Fame.
That's really cool. I didn't know there was such a thing there.
There is. They're working on, they could stand some money being thrown their way. They're working on building a building.
But
the seed of the idea is there. Mm-hmm. And it's up near Geneva, which is where the Seneca 7 race starts.
Oh, all right. Your one day relay. You're kind of adjacenting to the topic of today's show, which is going to be one day relay races.
It is, but I know that John is doing something very exciting too, though.
He is. My young, beloved young son, who turns 14 in a couple weeks, he and his twin sister.
How does that happen?
I know. And they're going to be freshmen in high school.
Yep. And mine too. Yeah,
I know. So John, this is his third year at Young Musicians and Artists Camp, which is a 2-week sleepaway camp down in Salem, Oregon, which is the capital of Salem. It's at I believe the oldest capital of Oregon. Sorry, the Portland.
It's Salem, the capital of the.
Yeah.
The capital of the Northwest.
It feels that way. it's at Willamette University, which I believe is the oldest liberal arts college west of the Mississippi. I could be wrong, but I think that's correct. And his focus is musical theater. So, mm-hmm. I sense that you might be wishing that you could be there, maybe, Adrian, as part of the whole theater scene.
Yes. Although I was in technical theater, not so much.
You can go to camp to work tech for 2 weeks. And I'm like, I said, Linda, we went down to visitor day on Saturday, and they showcase each of the disciplines, the creative writing, the songwriting, theater, photography, and then they showcase the tech program. Huh. And I lean over at Jack and I'm like, do you think those kids have to pay to come to that? And I mean, it's quite an extensive program. I mean, it's really, really well thought out. They have the teacher from our kids arts focused middle school. She heads it up. But I'm like, I mean, it's not an inexpensive camp. And I'm like, right. Wow. So, but John's in musical theater, and then they are doing a showcase of stuff tonight. This is Wednesday as we record this, and we've never gone, this is John's third year there, and we've never gone down midweek to see the performance, but he supposedly has the starring male role of, they're doing a snippet of Anastasia, which I mm-hmm. think is a Disney musical that is based on, the young Tsarina. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So he said to us on Saturday, he's like, oh, I'd really like you to come down. I have a starring role. And I'm like, okay. So we're taking the girls down and road tripping to Salem, which is the capital of Oregon.
So I have to tell you real quick.
Yes.
That my husband and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, which
congratulations.
Blows my mind. Oh, thank you. We were babies when we got married. We celebrated a couple weeks early because that's when we could do it. Mm-hmm. And we took a road trip down to New York City and saw Burn This on Broadway.
Right. How did I not think to ask you about this?
I know, right? With Carrie Russell from, everybody knows her from Felicity.
And The Americans.
Uh-huh. And The Americans. And your favorite, Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. The show was fantastic. Adam Driver is a giant. Carrie Russell is tiny. I mean, don't get me wrong. She is itty bitty. But the other two men on the stage are normal sized humans.
Yeah.
And Adam Driver is enormous. Like, it's not like he's big and bulky. He's just a
He's tall.
Solid, tall guy. So it was really interesting to see. Go ahead.
Is it a new play or is it a play that you're not familiar with? Oh.
It's a play that you're not familiar with. Actually, my husband and I decided to go down and see it because I directed a production of it in college. So
I love that.
That was, yeah. Yeah, and I was shocked at how many of the lines and everything I remembered.
Uh-huh.
So the play was written in 1987.
Uh-huh.
I directed it in 1992, 93, somewhere in there. So it's not a new play. And there are moments in it where there's a whole subplot that involves a telephone and somebody picking up the extension another room, which I was wondering, like, anybody under the age of 35 were like, what's going on? What is this? How does he know that information? But they picked songs from 1987 for like the pre-show music, and it was the best mix ever.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah, it was great. Great fun.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So did you go for the weekend or you just went for a night?
We just went overnight. We went down first thing Friday, came back Saturday morning. Yeah.
Fun. Yeah. Yep. It's so different getting to stay in Manhattan rather than, growing up outside of it in Connecticut, I would go in for the day. And it's different to have that home base.
Yeah.
It's
nice. Exciting. It's nice to be able to just go back to the hotel room and wash off Manhattan, because in July, in Manhattan. Like, okay, so do I smell like hot garbage or is that just the city? And it's a little of both. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of stink, we're gonna talk about one day relay races where you work up quite a sweat and then stew in it while you sit in the van, and it's all an incredible amount of fun. And
it is.
And I brought you on to be the co-host because you have done one day relay race two times with a whole bunch of bammers, which is very fun. And so our two guests are going to, one of them is the director of the venerable Hood to Coast here in Oregon, and then a bammer who has done a slew of one-day relay races, a bammer with a ton of energy. So excited to have Cindy on the show. And both guests will be in studio, which I love. I wish you could be here too, Adrienne.
You too.
You have stayed here in this room. It is our guest bedroom. So you can visualize where I am. Yes. We'll kick off the interviews after this brief break. Stay with us. First up is Felicia Hubber, the Hood to Coast Race Series Director and Chairwoman. Felicia is the daughter of Robert Foote, founder of the venerable Hood to Coast. The first time Felicia was a guest on our show, way back in the spring of 2015, she was the mother of a toddler. Somehow he has grown up somewhat since then. So welcome back to the show, Felicia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah. And so your son, remind us, how old is he now?
He is 6 and a half on summer break, almost going into first grade.
Mm-hmm. And at zoo camp.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Having a ball. I wish I was there too.
So refresh our memory about your running background.
Okay. So my running background really serendipitously started when my dad was an ultra marathoner, and I would see him going out on runs every morning. He would be, doing like a 20-mile training run in Northwest Portland. Yeah. And I was three years old. I know, just your typical 20-miler.
Yeah.
So I thought that was normal, apparently. And at age three, I would beg him to go take me running with him. And
aww.
He finally, succumbed, and he would jog me around, and we'd do a block. We'd run around the block. And then he'd drop me back off with my mom at home. And then he'd go out on his 20-miler. So we grew up, our family vacations were usually destination, to go run, whatever marathon in Hawaii or, one at the Oregon coast. And that was hey, let's go root on dad. And, that's what we did. So I grew up kind of surrounded by running. And then I started, running on a local track club when I was about 9 years old. Hmm. And just loved it, kind of took to it, and I've been running ever since. So
yep.
I kind of took a break right after high school, started college, just kind of that burnout from competition, and then refound the love for myself after that, just kind of in doing my own thing and training and not really doing anything high pressure, but just enjoying running for the love of it, and just the essence of it for myself. Yeah.
Nice.
So how many relays have you run?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've done 6 Hood to Coasts before I actually started working for the event. And then I ran in Hood to Coast Pacific City, which we had last year and we'll have again this coming year. And I have also run in Hood to Coast Washington and
China.
And how could I forget China?
That's a great picture of you. Yeah.
Yep. Hood to Coast China. That was incredibly hard, but so beautiful and extremely memorable. So, that was kind of the latest capstone was Hood to Coast China, running in that one for me.
Okay. So maybe about 10 relay races.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
So describe a relay race to the uninitiated, including calling out the differences between a multi-day race, the mother of all relays, the Hood to Coast, and the one-day races that your organization now hosts.
Right. So the main difference is the one-day relays, obviously, just as the name implies, are all encompassing in one day. So mm-hmm. you can participate. You don't have to do, any kind of overnight sleeping in a sleeping field. You can have a shower at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But for a typical one-day relay, you have a team of six people on a team, and you're running two legs, anywhere, varying in distance from 3 to 9 miles. And you'll be trading off to your teammate at the exchange point. And it'll last anywhere from, maybe starting at like 4 to 5:30 in the morning and finishing the race, anywhere from 3 to 5 p.m. So you get to enjoy, like a nice dinner, but it's still a pretty amazing accomplishment still in completing, 70 miles with six people.
Right. And that you're in a van. And so when you're not running, you're in the van and you're not going right behind the runners, but you're maybe going the same route, maybe not, mm-hmm. maybe meeting them up at the next exchange, established exchange points.
Right. Exactly. And cheering them on along the way and, mm-hmm. and just, having that cohesive teamwork mm-hmm. to make it happen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So when did you launch the one-day races and why?
Mm-hmm. We started those in 2016, and that was based on basically the market, because we were seeing with Hood to Coast, we have seen for the last 22 years straight, we sell out on opening day of registration mm-hmm. in October with Hood to Coast. And the number of declined teams that were trying to get into Hood to Coast was increasing. And we thought, this is just like an untapped resource right here. These people all want to be able to participate in our relay. Why don't we create, some other cool kind of destination races for and relays that people could participate in? And it seemed like the one-day relays were a more attainable option for a lot of people mm-hmm. as well.
Sure. So. Yeah, a little less intimidating. Right. There's not that, I'm going to be so sleep deprived.
Right.
You get a lot of the fun without a lot of the drawbacks.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So what has been the reception to the one-day races? Are they also selling out?
Yes. I would say, 3 out of the 5 are selling out thus far. We have a couple newer ones. So we have the Hood to Coast Oregon Classic, which is coming up, and that'll be an inaugural race in October. We just launched registration for that, so it hasn't sold out yet, but I imagine it definitely will.
Yeah, sounds beautiful. You were telling me about before we started.
Yeah, it truly is.
So where does that go?
So that starts and finishes in the Hood River downtown waterfront area, right along the Columbia mm-hmm. River. And it traverses up through some beautiful peach and apple orchards. You go up towards Temawanis Falls and Cold Springs Creek, up towards Mount Hood. And then it's a looped course where you come back down off the mountain. So the second half of the course is definitely easier, which is good.
Downhill.
Yeah, right? than the first half. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful course. You get to, you run by Full Sail Brewing, and there's all kinds of just fun restaurants and kind of attractions to sightsee and check out after you finish the race as well, right mm-hmm. in that same area.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is a side note. How much would you say your race, the original one, mm-hmm. like what was the success rate that skyrocketed once the documentary came out about it? Because it seemed, mm-hmm. I've done 9 original Hood to Coast races, and they were always popular, but it seemed like once that movie came out, it was just like everybody wanted to do it. Yeah. And social media seemed to add to it too, because then, mm-hmm. people saw their friends doing it.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like social media as far as word of mouth and firsthand experience. And, you tell your friends and of course they want experience and do all those fun things and seeing your pictures and whatnot. But yeah, the Hood to Coast movie, which came out in 2011, was mm-hmm. definitely a big kind of impetus and grew the interest in the race, especially internationally.
Oh, interesting.
So after the release of the movie, that's when we were getting approached by, a few different folks, specifically in China about, hey, we've been hearing about Hood to Coast. We want to put this on in China. Can you help us?
Oh,
so great. That's kind of how that began.
How many of your racers are international, do you think?
We have Hood to Coast China, Taiwan, Israel, and what we call Hood to Coast Europe, which is near Amsterdam. So currently we have four. And then we're in the works to have another one actually in what's called Hainan Island. And that is kind of, it's almost like Hawaii. And it's south of Hong Kong, but it's part of China.
Oh, yeah.
So we've been over there, and it's like this beautiful kind of tropical resort kind of feel to it. So that one is, we haven't released, you know, officially to the public yet, but it is tentatively scheduled for December of this year.
Oh, interesting. And then, then of the racers who are doing, say, the original Hood to Coast here in Oregon, what percentage of those are international runners?
Coming to Hood to Coast?
Yes.
I would say it's probably about 10 to 12%. We do limit it just because we want to have a local contingent of runners that can come in, and for the volunteer component, because
we've got to have those. So, and I know that races like New York says, okay, they're going to save out this percentage for people in the tri-state New York area, this percentage for international. You all do the same thing?
Exactly. Exactly.
But with, obviously not tri-state New York, but with Oregon and... Hey, New Yorkers, apply to Hood to Coast.
And we, there are teams that we have to deny, unfortunately, you know, coming from more of the European countries, because we do have quite a few that apply from like Spain and Germany and Italy. So
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what it is like, like what it is in those countries that just make these people want to do this. I mean, it's a fabulous race, but yeah. So, and any plans for more domestic ones other than the one you already mentioned here in Oregon?
Not yet, but you know, we're always open to suggestions, kind of hearing from participants. That was actually the impetus for Hood to Coast Oregon Classic, this new race that we have coming up in Hood River. That was based off of participant feedback that they wanted a local, I should say, quote unquote, local Portland area running event that still felt a little bit of a like a destination feel. So we sent out a survey to folks asking a lot of questions, and that was definitely the big takeaway that we got. So
yeah, because you have Texas, you have Hilton Head Island. Where else do you have outside of the Pacific Northwest?
Let's see. Right now, I believe that's the only two. So we have Hood to Coast, Pacific City, Washington. We have High Desert, which is in Central Oregon. And then, like you mentioned, well, like I mentioned, the Oregon Classic. And then, like you said, Hilton Head.
Nice.
One of the things that I love the most about one-day races is how intense it is, because it's literally like 16 hours of doing this. Is it as intense for the race organizers?
That's a great question. Yeah, I would say it definitely is. And, you know, in a way, I think we kind of feed off the adrenaline and the endorphin rush that we see amongst all you guys and the participants. And, you know, it kind of... it gives us inspiration to see how much fun you all are having out there and, you know, cheering on your team. And it, at least I speak for myself, but I know for the rest of our office and our team that I think we feel rejuvenated, you know, when we see just kind of the pure essence of all the work that, you know, we put into it. And it might be the logistics and the operations of it, but when you see the human side and you see, you know, the personal stories and how teammates might be cheering each other on or how they're interacting with the local community, it's like, it kind of hits home and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's exactly why we do this. Like it's, it's that human connection, and it's just beautiful to see.
Nice. So I've always been curious, how do organizers decide where an exchange point is going to be? I mean, you know, so on the original Hood to Coast, it's, you know, maybe the Fred Meyer parking lot, which is a supermarket, or, you know, the trailhead of a bike path, something like that. But other times it's just like mile 58 of, you know, highway so-and-so. Like, how do you, how do you decide that?
Yeah. You know, it varies obviously depending on just purely parking space, or it's also, what do we think is feasible for a team? Like we try and limit it to be no shorter than 3.5 miles, just because, you know, the logistics of the vehicle getting to the next exchange point, you know, that runner might, you know, if it was shorter, get to the next exchange before the vehicle can. And then we also don't want to have it longer than 9 miles, because that gets to be, you know,
a
little too tough. Exactly. So, you know, trying to find any kind of, you know, way station or school and things like that anywhere in that 3 to 9 mile range. Sure. Is kind of our sweet zone there.
That's true. You do a lot of school and church parking mm-hmm. lots.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you get some boosters out there selling stuff.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Make
yeah.
it a win-win for them too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it possible to have too many porta potties on a racehorse?
You know, the answer you would think would definitely be no. and I totally get it. I mean, I really do. The only part about that is definitely the servicing. So like with hood to hoods, you know, do you want that truck out there, you know, like pumping constantly a giant, giant, giant bay? But it does fluctuate. You know, it's very interesting because, you know, you might be in a group, like almost like a group of teams that follow one another that mm-hmm. don't necessarily spread out. So you might be in a line, you know, waiting for a porta potty that's 15, 20 people deep, and then see it a half an hour later and it's 3 people deep.
Oh,
so it's just like it's so hit or miss.
It's like traffic right. on a highway, you yeah. know, that sometimes there's like a whole congestion of cars and then it's like, oh, here's me and right. my sea of empty highway.
Right. It's just right. it's just so yeah. it seems so random. I'm sure there's a very mathematical, you know, system of how that works. But yeah, so it's always a little bit of a just guessing game, view it, you know, see how it's operating during the actual race and then adjust the numbers. We never go back. That's the thing. We're always increasing, but yeah, we've never gone back. Yeah. Fortunately, I think right now for Hood to Coast, we're at like 602 or 603.
Sure. And those honey bucket guys, when they show gosh. Up to pump though, man, they get a hero's right. welcome.
Yeah. Right.
right.
And they do it with like an awesome attitude. They wear funny shirts and they're super cool. They take it all in stride.
Yeah, they fulfill a very necessary role in our society.
Truly, yep. truly. Yep. Yes. And you really appreciate it when you go to other countries and see the porta potties at those races. It's mm-hmm. like, man, we have amazing facilities. This is great.
That is true because I mean, I've been to China yeah. and I mean, yeah. you can go to the Forbidden Palace and the public right. restroom is a hole in the ground.
Right.
And I realize yeah. that Americans are very pampered and mm-hmm. we probably demand too much. But so I can't even imagine what a porta potty. You need to send a photo. You need to tweet out a photo or something.
My husband and I and our team, when we participated in Hood to Coast China last year, would we'd get back in the van after using one. It's like, so how is it on a scale of 1 to, we had, for some reason I rated it on a 1 to 7 scale. It's like, so what is it? Was that a 6? You know, it's like, oh no. Like you're coming back like holding your breath, but it's, you know, it's all part of the fun.
Uh-huh. I've been trying to figure out what the nuttiest thing I saw. So I run the Seneca 7 so far twice, but I intend to do it every year. And we see a lot of people in costume,
mm-hmm.
Especially costumes that you wonder how people run in them. is that done in Hood to Coast too?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the awesome part. Yeah. It's, I mean, it feels like a costume party on wheels sometimes because
right.
you're seeing like there's one team that always that we see almost every year, and I think they're called Red Dress Express, mm-hmm. and they've got you know, like fancy red dresses on, or they have like red tutus or you know something, and they're just fully decked out that way. Or there might be teams wearing like full cowboy gear. It's
oh
like,
boy,
dang that. Not only is that impressive, but that looks sore to me, but that's great. Right. Good for you.
Right. There was a team this year that was running in those inflatable T-Rex costumes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Saw them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh. I would get so sweaty.
Right. And like, the breathing. How are you not dead? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah. I mean, like, maybe it's like one of those challenges where like, you know, you've heard of the guy who ran the marathon backwards. And it's like,
right.
well, you know, it's a new challenge. Right. Makes it interesting, I guess.
right. So, you know, one year when I ran the original Hood to Coast, I wanted to be on it so badly. I didn't know anybody who was running it. This was before having this business. And so I just paid, back in the day, paid $5 to sign up on that list where you could get picked up by a team.
Right.
Is there similar things for your one-day races or no?
Right now what we do is basically just have a forum on our Facebook page. So like, you know, Facebook.com/Hood to Coast. And we have a place where folks can just look for a runner or walker or vice versa. So they can, you know, they can match with whomever. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of just how we have slowly migrated to letting folks pair with one another, and we stay out of it.
Okay. And so, but for the, also for the one day races they can find?
Yeah.
Oh, they can. Okay.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And your Facebook page then is for all your races. You don't have like the one day for the Washington or anything like
we
that.
We thought about doing that a long time ago, and we just decided to keep it all under the one
big
umbrella.
One big party.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Nice. Nice, nice. Well, great. Well, thanks for joining us again, Felicia. It's always nice to see you.
Yes. It was wonderful talking with you.
Yeah. And nice to meet you.
Thanks again.
Our next guest is a loyal Bammer who I've had the pleasure of knowing for, I realize it's probably close to a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy Pelto used to help stuff swag bags for our challenges before we launched the Train Like a Mother Club. And I see her at a lot of local races. And she's also been profiled on our site. This mom of two and long-term substitute teacher has run numerous relay races, including many single day ones. So glad to finally have you on the show, Cindy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's start with, remind us how old your kids are these days.
Okay. Andrew is 16, driving all over, got his first job. He's working at Target this summer.
Nice.
And Lauren is almost 13.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yours are about the same as mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So tell me a little bit about your running background.
Sure. I ran track in high school, but for me, it was purely social.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it, Cindy. To talk? I don't believe it.
It was purely social. I ran distance, and it was just an excuse to run by the tennis courts and flirt with my future husband. And it was a fun opportunity to be active and social. I really wasn't very competitive in high school. And then I didn't run for a very long time. Fast forward to when I had my second child, Lauren. She was almost two, and I was just really looking for something active. So I found Stroller Strides. And Stroller Strides, I almost get emotional talking about my connection with Stroller Strides because it is my connection to many of the women in my life currently who I do all these fun relay races with and who are some of my closest friends. We all bonded over having small children, needing to get out of the house, needing exercise. And it's what got me running again. I convinced a few of my friends to train for a half marathon, and here we are. I mean, we've done marathons together, countless half marathons, countless relays. They're some of my favorite people in the world. And all of our kids have grown up now, but, you know, we have Stroller Strides to thank for that.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. I did not know that, Cindy. Yeah. That is lovely. So, so you're a longtime devotee of overnight races, including Cascade Lakes Relay, which is a very popular Oregon race.
Yes.
And so what made you shift to one day races?
Well, just the opportunity we have here in Oregon. There's so many of them to choose from. The relay races are really my way of connecting with my girlfriends. Mm-hmm. It's our weekend getaway. It's our chance to leave our roles as mothers, wives, partners, teachers, employees behind and just be stupid for a weekend. I mean, we really are. And it's just so much fun. That being said, we happened upon the one day relay, by chance, because it was one of our Bammer's birthdays, her 40th birthday, Brandy. And she reached out to us and said, I want to do this relay race. It's on my birthday and I'm turning 40. And so I want this to be my birthday party. And we were like, of course. I mean, that sounds perfect. So we rented a cute house. And this was the very first year of Hood to Coast, Washington. And got our team of six together and went up there for Brandy's birthday weekend. And we kept coming back year after year because it was, we had such a good time. And, you know, I'm sure we can get into the logistics a little bit later of why we had such a good time, but it was, you know, that's kind of how we happened upon the 1 day relay. I've done another 1 day relay with couples. My husband and then my friend Amy and her husband and my friend Audrey and her husband, we did the Bend Beer Chase, which was in Bend. And that's a Cascade Lakes relay event. And we called it our marriage retreat. So we left all the kids with grandparents or neighbors and went down to Bend and had a lot of fun just as couples hanging out.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I love that.
I'm just imagining, though, you know, for the 1 day relay races I've done, there's usually somebody naked at one point. I'm just wondering how that worked out. Changing clothes, not like just hanging out naked.
It's Oregon. I thought you meant just somebody being naked.
Well, that is true. That is
wouldn't
true.
Surprise me.
Yeah. Well, it's cold here. So, you know, we don't tend to hang out naked. So.
Yeah. No, everybody gets their van time. Everybody gets their time to wiggle out of their sweaty clothes and into their dry, clean clothes. So,
Or maybe people just look the other way.
We bring along beach towels for that, too.
Yes. Cindy leaves no dilemma or situation unplanned. So
I am known as the van mom. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I am known as the van mom.
All right. So besides the obvious, sleeping under the stars in a field of parked vans, what are some of the differences between the two types of relay races, the multi-day and the 1 day? And what is it you like best about 1 day races?
Yeah, there's the obvious lack of sleep deprivation, which is really great. Just logistically, it's a lot easier to do the 1 day relay. Our van is less crowded. We're not carrying food for 2 days and water. I mean, you know, when we do Cascade Lakes Relay, it's hot. It's in the middle of July. There's very few places we can stop. So we have our big 5-gallon jug of water and then some, and we have camping gear and sleeping bags and pillows and much more food because we're gone for that much longer and we're running that much farther. So just logistically, it's a lot less to think about. We kind of joked this year, because it's our third year in a row of doing this one, that at this point, we all just kind of threw some crap in a bag and left. I mean, my prepping for Hood to Coast Washington this year involved going to Trader Joe's the morning I was picking everybody up and just grabbing stuff from the shelves.
Right.
I mean, we really just, you know, as long as you've got your running shoes and some clothes and, you know, flip flops for after, we were good. I mean, it was really just about the girlfriend weekend for us. And and I think, too, that's really the difference in the 1 day versus the 2 day for me and for many of my Bammer friends is the 2 day relay takes so much out of us. And we're having to make so many plans to be away for the weekend, you know, for our kids to be taken care of and things just, you know, having our ducks in a row at home. The whole point in getting away is to spend time with each other. And the 1 day relay allows us to have that time with each other. We're only in one van. There's only six of us. So it's not like one of our vans is having an experience and the other van is having a totally different experience.
Right.
Or, you know, then you have the drama of, well, who goes in which van with, you know, who's. So there's just none of that. It just completely negates all of that. And it's just, it allows us to spend time with one another. And that's really why we do it.
Right. Yeah. And there's no like, oh, we got dogged. We're on the one that goes from midnight to 5 a.m. while you guys are sleeping at Audrey's house.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like I said, it's just the whole purpose for us doing this, from me personally and from my friends for doing these relays, is to spend time with one another and reconnect. You know, two of the girls on our teams lives in Washington now. They don't, you know, one girl moved up to Bainbridge Island. So the only time I see Christine anymore is when we get together for, you know, this event. And it's, we got to cram a lot of catching up into this weekend. And, you know, yeah, we get out of the van and run a little bit, but it's really for our team. It's really about the connection and reconnecting with one another as women. And we kind of leave all of the mom stuff and wife stuff behind. And we're just, like I said, we're goofy. We're really, really goofy for a weekend. And it's invigorating and it's rejuvenating.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about assembling a team, because there's bunch of different ways that people do it. For Seneca 7, the first year, I kind of knew that I wanted to do the race, and nobody in my immediate neighborhood at the time, I live in a very small town, so there just aren't many runners here, and then there aren't that many that you can convince to do a day-long relay. Right. So I talked to the Bammers that I knew that were kind of a reasonable day's drive from that part of New York, and it seemed like if I asked them, they would say yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is going to be crazy, but let's spend 12 hours in a van together and maybe run a little bit. So that's kind of how this team came together, and we've dropped and added, you know, people have kind of were busy that weekend or other things came up over time. And there have been people on our team that were strangers to three quarters of the team, but mm-hmm. were recommended by somebody else. So how do you go about putting, it sounds like you have a pretty stable team, but.
Well, I mean, it's varied, and it changes depending on the event that we're doing and mm-hmm. the reason we're doing it. Like I said, when the first one day relay we did was the Ben Beer Chase, and that was our marriage retreat. That was the couples.
Right.
The very, very, very first relay I ever did was Hood to Coast, and I happened upon it because I was one of those people that got called at the last minute saying, hey, we had a couple people back out of our team. I know you run. Oh, by the way, we also need a van, and I know you have a minivan.
That's Cindy. She does it all. She runs and has a van.
And she's a mom.
Yeah, so she's organized.
Clearly, she'll have a van. Thanks, Christine, by the way. Christine hooked me up with her friends, and they were complete strangers, men and women, running it. And I had a blast. It was a ton of fun. It was, and after that, I knew I wanted to make my own team. I had a hard time not being in charge of certain things.
Yeah, I understand.
So I figured you would.
Yeah.
I decided that I was going to make my own team, and I wanted it to be girlfriends. Not that I didn't enjoy running with the guys. They were a ton of fun and super nice. So I put in for a Hood to Coast team the next year. We didn't get it because it's super popular. So we ran Epic Relay, which was just this random local relay that went from Beaverton to Eugene. And it was a ton of fun. And so we were like, all right, we're just going to keep trying. So the next year we got into Hood to Coast and, had a great time. That's just kind of how it evolved for me. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've had several other Hood to Coast teams where I only really wanted to be in charge of filling one van. So I reached out to other people I knew and said, hey, do you want to be in charge of the other van? So we kind of two captained it.
Right.
And that worked out really, really well.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I did that 2 years in a row. And we had a mixed bag, men and women. One of those years, I convinced my sister to finally come out to Oregon and do Hood to Coast for her 40th birthday. So, nice. Yes, she finally did that, and it was a blast. We had a great time together. The Washington One Day Relay, though, has strictly been our girlfriend weekend. We rent a house. We go up there for the weekend. Several of us take the day off on Friday, and we head up there. We have a lovely dinner together that someone else prepared for us. We just start connecting. We hang out in the hot tub. That's our only qualification in a house, is that it has to have a hot tub. Because strangely, some of them don't. So
a house without a hot tub.
I know. I know. A vacation house without a hot tub. So we hang out in the hot tub and we get ready. And, you know, we just kind of make sure everything's ready for the next morning and head out. This year, we actually weren't going to do it this year after last year, because logistically Hood to Coast Washington did this thing the first 2 years where they started pretty far away. And so since we stayed overnight on Friday night, we had to get up, and the start times for the one day relay are really, really early. Like our start time was 4:15 in the morning.
Oh boy.
And so we had to get up and leave our vacation house because we've stayed at the finish line to drive to the start line. Mm. And so we were getting up at 1:30 in the morning.
Ouch.
To leave at 2, to drive to the start line, to be there by our start time.
Right.
So that we could then, so we were sleep deprived. And it was like, it negated the whole like, oh, we don't have to stay overnight because, or, you know, run through the night.
Overnight.
Because we were basically doing that before the relay even began. So we had kind of all decided, all right, we're good. And then Hood-to-Coast Washington sent the email that said, good news, we're looping the course for our third year. It starts and finishes in the same spot. I was like, ladies, we're signing up again. So, and it was amazing. We had the best time. We rolled out of bed, threw Stephanie over the start line, said, see you at the exchange. And it was glorious.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's the great thing about Seneca 7 is that you're racing around a lake. So, you know, you start and finish pretty much in the same spot. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So one of the secrets to having a fun relay day, we discovered, or at least I discovered on the second time around, which was to have zero expectations whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And also to have dry shoes in the van.
Yes.
Have there been some tricks that you've learned over the years?
I think you really hit the nail on the head with the expectations. And I think that it's just the most important part of having a successful relay team is that everyone is on the same page with their expectations about the weekend, the event. And, you know, things happen. I mean, you have to, you know, for me personally, any relay I've ever done has not been to win. It's been to win my weekend away. And, you know, just to know that if I have a really crappy run and if I didn't come in at my 9:30 splits like I signed up for and said I was going to do for that leg, that nobody is going to, you know, care. They're just going to be like, hey, high five. Give me the bracelet. I'm going to go.
Right.
So, you know, just to make sure that the whole team has the same expectations. And, you know, if you're doing the two van relay, making sure both vans have the same expectations. And, you know, just I think that that's really the key to having a successful relay team. You know, there's a lot of relay teams out there that have different expectations than mine. I mean, there's people who train really hard and go out and are in it to win it. And kudos to them. Like, we're all just high-fiving them as they hand off bracelets super fast. So it's really great. The event itself is so great because you see so many teams there for different reasons. There's people who put teams together to, you know, in memory of somebody, or there's families that come together to race it together, like a family reunion. There's, you know, girlfriends, there's couples, there's so many different, you know, teams, like training teams come together and do these relays as a training thing. So again, as long as the whole team has the same expectations, it'll be a successful event.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So you referenced about the one of the differences between two-day and one-day races is you have a whole lot less food in the van.
Yeah.
But also, conversely, you can't, when you have two vans in for a longer overnight event, you can also go off, and depending on where you are, you can go off and get an actual meal at somebody's house, at a restaurant perhaps, that sort of thing. But so how do you handle the nutrition of you know, having stuff in the van, having it be easy to digest, easy to grab, you know, because you got to run twice in one day.
You do. And you have less recovery time.
Yes.
You know, with the 1 day relay, you only have two legs, but you don't have that big long stretch of time while the other van is running for hours on end. It's you run through your six people and then you're running through your six people again.
Yes.
So, the food, you know, the food's an issue, and I know my girls are going to be giggling when they're listening to this, because TMI always takes center stage on a relay with spammers.
Yes.
I mean, it is, there's just digestive issues, okay? And there's no way around it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you've prepared and if you've planned and you've packed all these yummy little snacks for yourself, or if you just raided the shelves at Trader Joe's. It doesn't matter. You're asking your body to do something kind of crazy, and it's going to revolt a little on you, and you just have to accept that, I guess. Or maybe we've just accepted it at this point. Just making sure you have food on hand that you're going to want to eat. That's hard, because in the relay, you'll look at what you planned and packed and think, oh, what was I thinking?
I don't
want to eat that yummy kale salad that I brought.
No.
I want peanut butter stuffed pretzels from Trader Joe's, and that's what I'm going to eat.
And I'm going to dip them in Nutella. So just going in.
Absolutely. Yeah. My relay team's required to bring all sorts of peanut products because Brandy and I both have peanut allergy daughters.
Oh, okay.
And so when we are away from our daughters, we eat all things peanuts. Peanut butter sandwiches, peanut butter pretzels, you name it. And then we have to decontaminate the van. But So I think it doesn't matter 2-day relay, 1-day relay. Food's always going to be an issue. I will say, though, it's easier to bring what you are going to need. We always have a big 5-gallon water jug that I keep in the van. And so we can just refill our water bottles with that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's just staying hydrated and drinking our noon and eating our snacks. We eat a really big dinner the night before together as a team. And then we look forward to our dinner afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's also nice to have a good cook who, you know, bakes some yummy things or, makes steel cut oats and puts it in little individual Ziploc bags.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So it's always good to have somebody like that on your team.
The peanut butter energy balls. Those were delicious. Yeah, those are very good. Thank you for those.
I made a big batch of superhero muffins and we had those.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
We also discovered that in Seneca 7 at the midway point in Watkins Glen, there's a Burger King. And I have to say a small hamburger right at the midway point, because it has, you run 3 times in that, right?
Yeah.
Is absolutely the right amount of fat and salt and vaguely meat-like protein. Yes.
I hear you.
Carbohydrates with the bun.
Yes.
Yes.
Carbs.
On our last trip to Coast, there was a McDonald's at one of the exchanges in the wee early hours of the morning that, thank God, was open, because a breakfast biscuit, like a bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast biscuit, was amazing.
Yeah.
We're making people possibly hungry.
I know. I'm sorry. I hope my stomach doesn't growl now.
All right. Another practical question. Yeah. What gear tips do you have? Like for, for an overnight race, like the original Hood to Coast, I always packed 3 separate outfits, put them in plastic bags because then the plastic bag, then you put the wet clothes in there and they don't get all nasty with your stuff. I mean, but you still need a headlamp.
Yep.
Right. You still need a vest.
You do, because you're starting so early in the morning that like the first 4 legs are, having to wear headlamps and safety vests.
Yeah.
And that's super important. You still have some of those logistic things to bring along with you. Everyone in my team brings a change of clothes because nobody wants to, even though you're not having as much time between your legs, nobody wants to sit around in wet, sweaty sports bra, and gross clothes. So we always change and just put dry clothes on. Yeah. Ziploc bags. Not just for keeping your clothes put away, but the
odor.
The van is stinky enough. Yeah. We don't need to smell your sweaty sports bra. So, zip them up and, flip flops for in between. And a sweatshirt or a zip up hoodie because it gets chilly. It's chilly in the wee early morning of the hours. And when you're just standing around at the exchange waiting for your runners, it's chilly. So, just a couple of layers, but again, you don't have to have the pillows and the sleeping bags and the extra change of clothes and all that other stuff in the van because it's all back at the house waiting for you.
Because also the time goes by quickly.
It does go by quickly. We do take, we baby wipe shower big time and that makes a big difference. So whoever just gets finished running gets use of the van for however long they need it after their leg.
Oh.
And they can baby wipe down, change their clothes, they pick what seat they want to be in, and then we head to the next exchange and wait for our runner. So we make sure that our gal who just finished running feels comfortable and has everything that she needs, and then we head on out.
Wow.
Wait the exchange. Yeah.
Yeah. I know your team sounds so civilized.
Yeah, it really does. I was just thinking, wow.
Oh, we're so not.
That sounds lovely.
It is.
Usually it's like, get in. We're late. We got to go. She's only got a 3.2. Yeah.
That's the thing, though. The legs are long enough and with the 1-day relay, the other great thing about it is you don't have all that insane traffic. There's no traffic.
Really?
There's no traffic at the exchanges. There's no traffic on the road because And I mean, huge plug for Hood to Coast. They've done an excellent job of maintaining the registrations for this event so that it doesn't get out of control with traffic.
Wow, because that is such a drag. Because amazing. Because then you're pitting out because you know that you're keeping your runner waiting. Or if you made the mistake that I have sometimes made on relay, you don't pee at the...
Right.
There were times I thought I was going to drown in my own urine.
Right. No.
Like, yeah.
Porta potty lines aren't as long. Wow. And they always do a great job with having enough... As a former race director, they do an excellent job of having enough porta potties. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, it's just... The traffic is nil and it's so great. Huh. And they've done an excellent job with locations of their exchanges too. There's plenty of, most of the exchanges have plenty of parking, you know, and some of them are just in tough spots, and I'll be really excited to listen to how they, decide where they're going to have their exchanges. Because some of them are tough. Some of them are tough spots. Mm-hmm. And it's, the volunteers always do an amazing job of getting everybody in and out, but the traffic on the road is nil. I mean, we can just zip to the next exchange and they have time to wait around.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then do you all stop midway and cheer for your runner?
So,
because that's a big point of debate, right, between teams. That's
okay. We used to. We don't anymore.
Okay.
High five. High five.
Air five. Yeah. No, we used to. And again, also, it depends. We always ask our runner. It depends on the leg she's running, mm-hmm. How many miles, what time of day it is, if it's going to be hot. So, you know, I think this last time we stopped one time for Brandy because she had to start her leg with the safety vest on, but really didn't want to run the whole thing with it. Uh-huh. And we knew about 20 minutes into the run, the time, because you have to have it on until 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Right. And she started her run at like 8:40. And so we pulled over, grabbed the vest from her, gave her some more water, high-fived her, and went on our way.
Because she was probably wearing a cute AMR tank
top.
So she wanted to showcase
for
it.
Sure.
You know, I can understand that. So I appreciate that. Good job.
I know.
Good job, Cindy.
Yeah, Brandy and I always have our AMR tanks on. And visors.
Visors.
Mm-hmm. We stopped one other time. I wanted the ladies to stop for me on my last leg because it was my longest and it was mostly uphill and it was hot. It was really hot. And so I just wanted them to check in on me to make sure I could fill my water bottle. Mm-hmm. But other than that,
But see, that also goes to having the team have the same expectations.
Right.
Because you don't want one or two people in there who are like, what do you mean you're not going to stop?
No.
Like, you know, and that's fine. Both are completely valid ways to do a relay.
Yep.
But you want to make sure that you're on the same page with those expectations.
Right. For sure. And there's a couple of legs, you know, on like Hood to Coast has the one leg where you have to be at the top with the toilet paper banner, right? For your runner five, third leg, runner five. Everyone who's run Hood to Coast knows which leg I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Brandy ran it for us 1 year. We had the toilet paper banner that they run through. Yay, because they made it up that horrible, horrible climb on their third leg. Uh-huh. But other than that, no, I guess we're just practical moms. We're like, good luck, girl. We'll see you at the see you at the exchange. We're going to go stand in the porta potty line and eat some peanut butter pretzels. So,
yeah. I'd like to say we are not sponsored by peanut butter pretzels of any sort, but if there's any listening that would like to sponsor this podcast.
Right. It's just a necessity.
I'm not going to say that I am big on the cowbell, but there are members of the team who are big on the cowbell. So we would try and catch the person in the middle of their run.
Oh yeah, we always have cowbell out the window. Like cowbell at the ready.
Yeah.
We have a van full of cowbells. So, but the great thing too is we have on the 1 day relay, the people you start with, you kind of are with.
You
kind of see the other
teams.
And so we start cheering for each other. Like we'll recognize, you know, we recognize the one group of guys that were always in the neon green shirts and they were checking in on us when one of our runners got injured. And so we would cowbell for them when we would drive by or beep the horn or something like that. But it's really the 1 day relay. I found much more camaraderie amongst the teams that we would run into. You know, I saw Brooke at the beginning. We started at the same time, Brooke Thames one of our AMR buddies and team Eat My Sparkles. So they do a kind of a team uniform where they all wear sparkle skirts. And I run into Brooke all the time at our relays. And so, you know, but we would be passing them or they would be passing us kind of piggybacking and we'd see them at exchanges and chit chat. And so it's just kind of a fun, it's just a little bit more laid back and, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You mentioned the team uniform. So every year we've tried to, we've gotten snazzy AMR tank tops. And every year the weather has been 40 degrees and
you wear it as
snowing.
A singlet, right? Like over the long sleeve shirt.
Yes,
it's a good look.
Wear it or
it's
over
a
jacket.
For sure.
Or a jacket. Yeah, it's a good look. I mean, we all want to be on the team. You know, we all want to show off our tank tops, but, you know, 40 degrees is a little much. So it sounds like you try to always have kind of a team uniform.
Just have a collection of AMR tank tops and visors. So
a few of us that do, but honestly, it's one more logistical piece that we don't want to think about. Cause it's again, our time away to not have to think about stuff like that. Like, so we just want to be comfortable. Like our expectation for my team is we want you wear what you are comfortable wearing it. Mm-hmm. And so we generally don't have any kind of team uniform per se. One year we did Cascade Lakes Relay. We were celebrating my friend Amy, who is a breast cancer survivor. And so we were all in pink for her leg. And because she was doing a memory leg for all of the women out there who are warrior cancer survivors. And so, you know, we've done little things like that here and there. But again, it's really just be comfortable, wear what isn't going to chafe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever gets you to the finish line.
Yep. Well, speaking of the finish line, one of my favorite memories or moments from the two relay races that I've done is when you cross the finish together as a team. And then usually we go and take a picture down by the lake because you finish right by the top of the lake. Are there any moments like that stand out for you?
You know, the finish line is always a ton of fun. This year was really, this year was different. It was really important to us to finish as a team, though, because our strongest Bammer, Brandy, got injured on her first leg. And she has been in a boot since the race. So she had something nasty happen with her Achilles and just couldn't put any more pressure on her foot. So we finished the race for Brandy. You know, we joked that we just mommed it after that. We were like, we're going to do whatever we can and whatever we have to do to cover these miles together and cross the finish line for Bran. And so I had the last part of that last leg and I met my, you know, I was kind of there waiting for them because Brandy was hobbling and Christine was piggybacking her. And they met up with us and we piggybacked Brandy across the finish line and got our medals. And, you know, the great thing we love about the Hood to Coast events is they do such an amazing after party. Like they have a great band, Radical Revolution plays their Hood to Coast Washington. They are a phenomenal cover band here in Portland. And I love them.
I love you knowing the name of it.
I do. They're amazing.
I know, right?
They are. Hit Machines played before. Love Hit Machine.
What did you know it all?
I do. Former race director. Hit Machine played my race. Thanks, Bart. But they have such an amazing after party. And the great thing about the one-day relay is you have energy. To party at the after party. And you have something left in your legs to dance. And this year was different. I mean, with Brandy injured, again, it goes back to everybody being on the same page about why they're there. You know, we're so close and such good friends that it really, all of a sudden, the after party became a non-event for us. Aww. And we just wanted to go back to the house, get in the hot tub, order pizza. We mommed that too because we put like candles out on the table and had our wine glasses and all just hung around and had a lovely dinner together that nobody complained about. And we just like rehashed the day and talked about how thankful we were that we were all there together and nobody cared that we weren't dancing at the finish line. So this year it was different, but it was so good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Cindy, thank you for joining us. And all I'm thinking is, why did I wait so long to have you on the podcast?
I know. Well, I watched Amy on the podcast one time. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, exactly.
And I've called in before, but I've never been down here talking on the mic. So thanks for having me.
You did awesome. Thank you. Well, Adrian, what do you think? I think you need to maybe head to the Pacific Northwest and do a relay.
I'm also thinking the one on the island near Hong Kong. I mean,
Yes. Yes. Although I sense the underlying theme of that would be humidity.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah, not my favorite. No.
Tropical flowers and wonderful birds maybe, but humidity.
Yeah.
Gosh, they just all sound so fantastic. So awesome. Well, here is Dimity to tell us about something in the Train Like a Mother Club.
Hey everybody, it's Dimity coming to you with the Train Like a Mother Club corner in the middle of July. I wanted to read this one post from Megan, who just ran a half marathon on July 9th. She said, "So I survived the Missoula Run Wild half. My training cycle fell apart, but I stayed on pace until mile 10. I pushed my four-year-old twins." Again, I want to just repeat that. "I pushed my four-year-old twins through the whole half marathon. Then pushing the kids started some awful back spasms. She walked for about 2.5 miles and then ran to the finish. I'll take it. It's an absolutely beautiful race to run. Well-organized, great aid stations, and wonderful community support. And the after-party food is delicious, catered by a local grocery store, local gourmet grocery store. I've signed up for the Newport, Rhode Island half in October and jumped into a new training plan and cycle. Here we go again." So Megan is in the traditional programs, coached by Amanda Loudon in the Train Like a Mother Club. And just wanted to just give her a shout out because it doesn't sound like the training plan could have fallen that far apart, because she's got this awesome picture of her with her looking very triumphant in the race. She's got her arm up, you know, in a bicep, really strong bicep, "We can do it" picture, and pushing her, again, her four-year-old twins, which I gotta say, four-year-olds, they weigh a little bit. So great job, Megan. Have a great week, everybody, and I will see you next week.
Hey, if you're a fan of this show, and I suspect you are, if you're still listening to me talking, leave us a rating, please, or tell someone about the show so that they tune in as well. Our podcast okay, you're going to make note of that. Yes, you are. Our podcast today was produced in Portland, Oregon by the persnickety Alex Ward from Sounds Like Pictures. Many happy miles.